As you have already heard about in the theoretical part of the previous talk, I'm speaking about charged lepton physics in a neutrino conference, but as I shall argue again, this is an important piece of physics even for understanding neutrino oscillations. And there have been many, many contributions to this subject in the last few years, many dozens of contributions from several dozens of authors. And of course, I cannot review all that, and I will not. I just to give an overview of a couple of points that are written there that also have been mentioned in the previous talk. And these topics are covered in many papers. Of course, I cannot quote, in a short time, I could only quote a few of my friends. And since I have many, I quote, I not quote anybody. I just put the quotations and the references in the web version. Let's start with a few good news. Neutrino oscillations require lepton Frege violation in the effective neutrino mass matrix, so evidence, I mean, for neutrino, for lepton Frege violation. This assumption of seesaw leptogenesis requires phases in the Yukawa couplings of the leptons to the Higgs, charged leptons, and in the seesaw, the neutral leptons. The impact of these important lepton Frege violations and CP violations in the charged lepton sector is experimentally irrelevant in the minimal framework, which is the standard model plus seesaw, because of gym-like factors, factors like neutrino mass squared divided by the W mass squared, which is a very small number. So this is a good news. These are good news because the observation of lepton Frege violation in mu gamma and tau mu gamma, or CP violation in lepton electric dipole moments, would be signals of new physics beyond the standard model and seesaw. The conversely, one can say, and my talk actually will start at this point, that conversely, the present experiments constrain and will strongly constrain new physics around and above the TV region to introduce lepton Frege violation and CP violation inhibition mechanism. This new physics has to have these mechanisms to survive experiments. And the well-known case of SUSY has been studied since long now. Some tests provide already relevant constraints on radiative corrections involving new lepton Frege violations and CP couplings. You are testing at the level of radiative corrections. And then, I just to say something that perhaps you're not so aware about, that the improvements in the experiments, experimental limits on lepton Frege violating decays and lepton electric dipole moments constrain the Yukawa couplings and the masses of heavy states of seesaw model and also of guts. So this come at the end of this talk, and you see that this is from quantum corrections to the lepton mass matrix, which are only suppressed by factors of logarithmic in these heavy masses. And therefore, you see that the lepton Frege violation and CP patterns of seesaw and guts are constrained by these experiments that are essentially those discussed before. Here, I put just the most obvious ones, because I want to make some discussion afterwards. And you see that, as has been said before, that if you look here at the unity in centimeters, even if you translate to natural units, which is Fermi or Jev minus 1, you see that it's still dE is a very small number, d mu a little bit less. Of course, the branching ratios of 10 to minus 11 are impressive. But perhaps even more impressive is the fact that we can still increase by several orders of magnitude And among these improvements, there is this one, which is a real measurement of DU. As previously mentioned, this number here comes from a phi to G minus 2. And so that this is very interesting number. And now we have to understand that these are very small numbers, but how small from a theoretical point of view? What to expect? If I discuss all this physics of lepton framework violations in this process that I've shown before, EDMs, and even magnetic moments, as also mentioned before, they are all coming from the same kind of effective operators in the standard model, which is this one, the well-known for magnetic moments. But actually, what you are measuring are terms which violate. So you have here some effective coupling, and you have coming from new physics, contribution from new physics, and you have different terms, the one that's conserving both CP and flavor, which is contributing to G minus 2, as written here. The one that is the non-diagonal in flavor, which is flavor violating part, is contributing to these processes. And then you have the imaginary part, the CP violating part, which is giving DE and D mu, depending on the, if you take here the electron, the mu. Now, I've put here some factors that you can see. Of course, E is obvious. The electron mass here is due to the fact that you have here a chirality flip, and therefore you have also isospin change. You have to compensate with a Higgs insertion, and this is here introduced through this mass, which is natural way to introduce a Higgs vacuum expectation value in an expression. So the question now is, from the measurements here, what are the constraints on this effective mass that I have written here, which is fixing the scale of the new physics? And so I've chosen the scale of TeV as a reference. And this is because essentially we expect some new physics to happen at what's called now the LHC scale. Actually, it's just the scale just above the standard model scale. And therefore, we know that we expect some new physics there. And that's why I took this as a reference value. And you see that if you take these effective couplings to be of order 1, you see that an experiment like a mu e gamma is already constraining here you to take this to reduce couplings or to increase the mass by a large factor, okay, a few TeV if you want. For DE, this is even more. For d mu, it's ridiculous, but it becomes, you know, with a 10 to 6 improving d mu, you get into the club. You get here a factor that's larger than 1. And the improvements also are very interesting. And this is why this physics is getting more and more interesting and getting at the there where you need information. So new physics across the TeV barrier will have a new introduce new flavor and CP violation problems. The present future experiments constrain and will strongly constrain contributions from new physics around the TeV scale. And as we have seen, lepton flavor violations and CP ones are much more restricted than the flavor and CP conserving ones, which is the G minus 2. We see more on that later. A generic new physics flavor and CP problem is expected, actually is predicted, and it has to be controlled both at 3 and quantum levels. Supersymmetry is one of the best candidates for a new physics framework. That's why I use it as a study case, if you want. A case study, if you want. But it has many effective sources of low energy lepton flavor violation and CP violations. And of course, the main ones, I mean, the more, most of them are in these lepton and squark mass matrices. And this, when you have these possible violations in the mass matrices, this you translate into contributions to lepton flavor violations and EDM in the for the leptons through loops. And therefore, by studying those, you get strong constraints on supersymmetry breaking parameters, as we discuss in a minute. Even at a radiative level, we can have the constraints are so strong that they appear only not only at the tree level, but also at already testing the radiative correction level. And therefore, we can look for seesaw theories and gut theories effects because they have lepton flavor violation and CP violation in their couplings. And they you radiative correct the low energy effective supersymmetry breaking parameters. And therefore, these effects are potentially measurable in lepton flavor decays and EDMs, as I show more concretely. I have to introduce a couple of notations. You have two kind of, you can separate this, the mass matrix for scalars, scalar leptons, in a part which is flavor conserving and a part which is flavor violating. So in the flavor conserving part, you have a part that can be, that is isospin non-conserving, if you want, that can have these two parameters in the usual supersymmetric models. This is the usual notation, and which can have phases in both of these parameters, mu and a. The flavor violating one has only matrix elements outside the diagonal, I mean, it's flavor non-diagonal mass matrices, and they also are of two kinds, and they both can have phases. So all these phases, of course, there are many, these are matrices, and you can study the different amplitudes by developing these deltas just to, it's a way to constrain the mass matrix in a very transparent way. Of course, you're not forced to do that. And if you do, you see that, for instance, EDM, the electric dipole moment, we have a part which is flavor conserving, it depends on these parameters A and mu, and a part which is flavor violating, which it has to have two different deltas to come back to the same flavor. So you can test even terms with two deltas, and you see that the experimental constraints are relevant. So this is for the flavor violating. This is the phase of the mu parameter. For the A parameter, it's not very different. You see that, of course, there is a large dependence, not one number. It's not like 10 to minus 3. It depends. If you increase the mass, it goes like the mass squared. So, change a lot. So in this region here, it's about 10 to minus 2, 10 to minus 3. And you see, this is a lot for a phase. A phase of a parameter like mu has to be less than 10 to minus 3, 10 to minus 2, but still more with the new experiments that would put this two orders of magnitude lower. As a comparison, if you look at the CP conserving part of this, the same kind of process, which is G minus 2, you see that with a present limit of roughly 20, 10 to minus 10, you're safe most of the time in most of the interesting regions of the parameter space. This is for flavor conserving. For flavor violating, you have more or less what I have said before. It's roughly 10 to minus 3, I've shown before. And of course, this will increase with the new experiment. This is the old, you get a factor of 10 or 30 here. This is just to show that in some cases, you have to be careful because you can have interference when you calculate the effective couplings. And if you have interference, you lose information. This is the case in this particular parameter. Now you can discuss flavor violating and CP violating terms, which are those with two deltas. And you see that the limits on the two deltas, the product of two deltas here, is 10 to minus 3, sorry, 10 to minus 5, around 10 to minus 5 in this region, and UB 10 to minus 7 in the same region. So this is quite a lot. And the conclusion is that the lepton flavor violation NCP contributions from SUSY loops must be reduced by several orders of magnitude with respect to analogous radiative corrections to flavor NCP conserving parts. This means that the imaginary parts of the parameters are much more restricted than the real parts of the mass parameters. So, because of that, it's so restricted that you get at the level of radiative corrections. And that's why, as an exercise, we look at for footprints of seesaw and gut-heavy states in this lepton mass matrix. So we take this lepton mass matrix, defined at the Planck masses they are to be, I mean, at least in M. Sugra. And then run it down, and lepton down to scale, to the scale that we need, which is the low energy scale. And lepton flavor violation, CP phases, are radiative generated from heavy state contributions to the RGE running until they are decoupling, until the decoupling of the heavy states. And in first order, one loop contributes like that. If I take seesaw heavy neutrinos, of course they will decouple from the theory at the scale given by the mass of each one. There are three in the seesaw. Okay. So you get factors for each loop, you get factors of this kind with the couplings of the right-hand neutrinos, which are the so-called the Dirac masses, and logarithms from the loops. If you look at the triplets that appear, color triplets in guts, these color triplets are those that are producing proton decay. You have a similar factor, but the couplings now are the U quark, the up quark Yukawa matrices, and the mass here is are the triplet masses. And therefore, you calculate the contributions, and you find a contribution of the like this matrix here, like called N, in the delta LL, non-diagonal. For delta RR, you get something like this U here, so gut here, seesaw there. And if you look at EDM, you look first for the flavor-conserving one, and actually you get that it's, in a sense, suppressed. And it's only different from zero if the neutrino right-handed masses are very hierarchical, which is not inconsistent with the fact that you need lighter right-handed neutrinos in leptogenesis than for neutrino mass matrices. If you look now for flavor violating EDM, and this is what I'm going to discuss now, you have now products of two deltas. And you get expressions like this with coefficients of order one. So you get something that is sizable. I mean, you can really constrain this product because, as I showed before, this is strongly constrained. So you can constrain this product. So I just show very quickly one figure, just to show one number here, 10 to minus 2, for an expression like this. This will go two orders of magnitudes down with the new experiments. And of course, the question is, how relevant are these limits for guts? So show here one way to see this, of course, just a can plot it in different ways. And this is just a look at the limits on the triplet masses of guts and see the unknown constraints from proton decay, how they compare with the constraints I can get from electron EDM. So I take three different simple models that are actually toy models, in a sense. One is simplest SU5 model. The other one is the simplest SO10 model. So this is George I. Glashow. This is like Fritz Minkowski. And this is a model which is a little bit enriched. This SO10 model is enriched by a pseudo-Dirac structure in the triplet masses. OK, you calculate the proton, proton time life, lifetime, you get almost done. You get from models 1 and 2 what to expect. You know that these models are inconsistent. You know since quite a few years now that these models are inconsistent just because they are an order of magnitude, their prediction is an order of magnitude below the experiment. And this model, without too much fine-tuning actually, you get a few orders of magnitude here, and you get you're safe by a factor of 2 or so, quite comfortable. Now, what about DE, electron dipole moment? In this case, you have one triplet. In this case, you have two triplets, and also here. So one triplet is not enough to, does not produce enough DE. But with two, you get a factor of 8 or so, and models 2 and 3 are out because this is the experimental limit. Now, you should remember that experimental limit, we go to 10 to minus 19, which is very close to zero here. So everybody will be excluded at that time. So I think this is, I don't know how long proton time we get to the same exclusion. I don't have really conclusions. I just will repeat what I'm insisting on, the fact that DE, D mu, mu gamma experiments and all similar experiments is strong constraint and will severely constrain SUSY guts and CSOS. From the lepton flavor violation and the CP violation effects in the scalar lepton mass matrices of the SUSY theories. And of course, the same thing is expected in any model beyond the TV scale, around the TV scale, sorry. I also remember that the lepton EDM will provide relevant bounds on heavy triplet masses in guts, which is a way to show that it's already a constraining radiative correction at a very high level. And finally, something that I did mention, that the DMU experiments are improving a lot, and there is an interesting challenge there, that DMU and DE perhaps, is there a way to break this naive scaling relation between DMU and DE so that DMU would be much bigger than this number here that is very low because of the low value DE. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Please, questions? Late for the
You considered non-structured leptons. What about structural leptons? Could you say something about?
I don't know.
Natural question.
Of course. If you have, if you have a structure, electron dipole moments. Of course, if you look at nuclei, for instance, electron dipole moments are nothing surprising. But the elementary electron dipole moments, the elementary dipole moment of elementary particle. This is something that is because elementary particle has no structure. So this is something that is intrinsic, and this is CP violating. If you have a particle, a nucleon, okay, it's different because you have electric dipole.
Other questions? Seems not. Thank you.